You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the Pirate Radio.
I saw Roy on Saturday.
Did you guys know you were going to be on the same plane, or did you just stumble upon
him?
No,
we stumbled upon each other. Roy's one of the guys that stands up immediately as a plane lands. Like, he said, bye. It was the last I saw Roy. Like, he just darted
so that,
out.
That is how you learn that? That is not something you had ever experienced before?
I got a text saying, hey, look behind you. And it was just Roy with his phone up. I'm like, hey, Roy, go Cats! And not much. And then, you know, I never saw him again.
He said he gave you a fist, and then I asked Roy how he was doing after that loss, because it's quite the collection of losers we have around here. Wait till we get to poor Jessica and Chris Whittingham, who have never cared more about golf than they did yesterday. They got buried yesterday. The only winner around here is Billy, and it's only because he got to beat Stugatz's Mets. Stugatz's Knicks get taken out funny. They were so loud. All of Knicks Nation loud. All the celebrities are there. They get taken out by that hair. That hair takes you out. Like, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard's show. Does it feel worse when you lose to Trey Young's hair? Yes or no? Because that was funny. But I was thinking about you guys at the airport, sad in Tampa. And I don't know why you'd be sad, because now it's just 3-3 best of 9. But you're at the airport and you're sad, and I ask Roy how he's doing. He's like, it's okay because I have beer.
That's right. My traditional airport beer. I have a beer every time I get on a plane.
Love an airport beer. And then the rest of the flight is me trying to hold in the farts from said beer.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do you love an airport beer? I also, and this is, you said you had a different experience with Roy than you ever have, and that he was just in the front of the plane. You learned it then, and you stared at the back of the head, and it's the last you saw of him. He was in the press area, right?
He was in the press area. Yeah, he was actually sitting behind me on the plane, but as soon as the plane touched down, like, even before I heard the wheels actually screech, he was up by the front of the plane, and he's like, bye, guys, peace sign, never saw him again. Never saw him.
I asked Roy, though, this is not a question I've asked him before, just a text, did the heavy blanket soothe you? And the response was, it did, actually. I think all of us need to get these heavy blankets.
I've got a weighted blanket. Roy, you got to make sure that you don't go too heavy, because I am just trapped on my couch now.
I have a weighted blanket too, Roy, and mine is about a third of my body weight, and sometimes it suffocates me.
Mine is 30 pounds, so it's pretty heavy. It's a miracle, actually. It actually does work. You need to get one.
Is that not way too hot for South Florida?
Nah, you gotta have the AC kicking. Yeah, I like a cold home. which is why I'm always walking in here saying, it's way too hot. I've been fighting with the AC people here for a good 3 months. But I like the weighted blanket, but it does keep you in your place, and it makes you not want to actually exert yourself to get up.
So do you guys want to be soothed by the 19-year-old goalie, or are you done? Are you finished with this team?
I've been calling for this since before the series started. It's almost as if we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Coach Q has no choice but to go to Spencer Knight, the young hotshot goalie who has had a couple of performances, some very good for the Florida Panthers, some just okay. If you saw him at the World Hockey Juniors, the guy has a very high ceiling. And I think right now, I'm not going to – look, we've been on Bobrovsky for two seasons now. I'm not going to pick on Driedger. Driedger's probably going to Seattle in the expansion draft. The problem is, and I was at that game as Roy was – what? Why are you waving your finger that he's not going to Seattle?
Driedger's a free agent, so he's not going to be in...
Oh, in the expansion draft? Well, everyone just assumes Seattle for Driedger anyways. I have sources within the front office. This was a conversation that I had. It's not exactly what Bobrovsky's doing right now. And that was very frustrating because the Panthers were dominating that game. And Tampa Bay has six shots and they score three goals. You need a goalie to be special in the Stanley Cup playoffs. To advance, you need what Tampa has between the pipes. Occasionally, yeah, he'll let in five goals, but he'll it should be eight because he'll be special. He'll stop a breakaway. We've got nobody capable of doing that right now. The only person on the roster capable of being able to be special on a breakaway situation, I think, is Spencer Knight. So I'm glad it looks like he's getting the start today, Roy.
Well, you can't necessarily blame the goaltenders without blaming the defense because what led in the breakaway? Misplay by Rico Gudas.
I hear you. We are asking so much from our defenders because we pounce on them whenever they let in one turnover. They are limiting so many shots. The Panthers just simply do not have an answer for the Lightning if it's outside of 5-on-5 hockey. If it's 4-on-4, speed kills us. We need to be absolutely perfect. It honestly reminds me so much of the Heat Lakers series. Because the Panthers are missing their best defensive player, and they need to play so much better than Tampa Bay just to eke one out. That's why you need help from the goalie position.
There's nobody in the playoffs, right, allowing the kind of goal totals that the Panthers are allowing, right?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, this has been a high-scoring series. But also, I mean, the second and third goal were deflections, and that happens when you have Lightning players in front of the net. The Panthers aren't getting these players out of the crease, and that's a big problem. And if a goaltender can't see the puck or they can't see a deflection because your defensemen aren't getting them out of the crease, that's going to be a huge problem. So they need to fix that.
Sugats, you're muted.
I think Winnipeg and Edmonton is one of those series where they're giving up a lot of goals. But, Roy, you can blame the goaltending. Mike, you can blame the goaltending. It's been dreadful. I mean, what else do you have to lose? Like, you have to go with the kid at this point, and I call him the kid because I don't know his name. So you have to go with the kid. And, Dan, you know what they say when they have three goalies. You don't have one.
Oh, for crying out loud.
All right, Stugatz, let me just explain to you what you did because I hope that all just airs how it was. You come in hot and late and muted from home, okay? You come in muted. You were all garbled. We did hear in the middle of the garble that you called someone the kid because you didn't know his name, and then you did the dismount like Simone Biles at the very end, and if you have three goalies, you don't have one. And it was really, it was the performance of a maestro. It was like watching Simone Biles. You just came in, you took a giant dump on the show, and you came in, your first words were something about the Winnipeg Edmonton series.
Dan, you asked a question and I answered it and I stuck the landing. I mean, what do you want? You asked a question, everyone was blank. I actually looked it up. I saw that Winnipeg and Edmonton were giving up a bunch of goals. I came to your rescue. I mean,
yes, geez. That's how I felt right there. Rescued. Not like if you threw me an anchor while I was drowning. I totally felt rescued there. Now, Billy's the only one on this entire Zoom who is looking splendid because his Marlins won 2 out of 3 and he is wearing the coolest uniform. I don't know how the Heat fans in the group feel about the fact that they wore their trophy golds and then that's the performance they put up against Milwaukee. But look at Billy, the only winner among us because everyone around here got crushed Stugatz, yes, you're sitting there swaggering your nipples because you won at DraftKings, but your Knicks had the most heartbreaking of losses after you were loud. You were loud for so long. Knicks fans at home, and the only loud thing I heard at the end of the game was that Julius Randle three. It made me want to call a personal injury attorney. Like the sound that made, and he was so dreadful. We'll get to you in a second, but Billy, you're the big winner of the weekend, and you look sharp as hell.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. You know what? I am the big winner of the weekend. The Marlins, what a weekend for them, huh? Should have been a sweep. That's okay. We'll get them next time. These uniforms, huh? Bit of a hit amongst the community. Everybody seems to like them. It's surprising to be on the side of something the Marlins do that everyone's like, I like that. I really like that. Because typically it just gets laughed at. It's like, oh, come on, Marlins.
It's hard
why?
To make a splash with a uniform like that, is it not?
Splash.
You know, the last Marlins uniform that I really love, I like the black on black, which a lot of baseball purists do not like because they think that it's hard to read the lettering on the back of the black on black. But I liked when they did the Little League uniforms. Remember those, Dan? You remember the Little League uniforms that they did?
I don't.
Oh, man. They were like this neon orange sleeve, like a bright teal base. It was like a little V-cut thing. A little unprecedented for baseball uniforms. I could get one for you, but I don't know if I'd be able to track one down.
All right, look at him. He's got swagger after winning two of three. He's the biggest winner of the losers. It's a shipping container filled with losers. Wait till we get to Jessica and Chris Whittingham, who were rooting against old people yesterday. They were taking the side of ageism yesterday. And Jessica doubling down on crucifying the old people who were in her mentions, yelling at her because a 50-year-old did something good. And she accused them of beeper invention. We'll get to them in a second, though.
You know, you just say you're wrong, right? Like, that's just something you can say. Hey,
No. Smetty, you're on the right path.
She's going to fit right in around here. But can you explain to me, before we get to any of that, Stugatz, I need to understand what happened with you and DraftKings and you winning a pool of 200 people. Explain to me, because I saw some people saying that you should have won $1 million if you'd actually been in their $1 million tournament stakes thing. What happened there? Like, how did you win that? Did you use Inferno?
I didn't, and it wasn't $1 million because I thought that the pool that me and Chris put together was $40 million. I thought that was the big prize. We put together a pool for our listeners for the PGA Championship, and I finished in first place. I had Phil Mickelson. I had Brooks Koepka. I had Ricky Fowler. I am the DraftKings. I mean, I'm not certain if I'm allowed to win money anymore from DraftKings, but $100 was deposited right into my account. How about that, Dan? First place.
For the people that don't know, we did our first... Hi, Finny. How you doing? We did our first DraftKings free-to-play with 200 people. 200 people in this pool. Stugatz wins it by himself. First place, $100. Are you eligible to win the $100?
I have no idea. They put $100 in my account. I'm demanding a big cardboard check. That's what I want. Even if it's for $100, I want the big cardboard check. I want the DraftKings moment. I want the moment you see in commercials where a guy is presented with a big cardboard check. I deserve it. I won. I'm the DraftKings.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Should Stugatz get a big cardboard check for his $100 win with DraftKings? And are you telling me that you two picked your own guys, or did you use Inferno? Because you usually cheat at these things, Stugatz. You use a ringer usually.
Yeah, Inferno usually is the guy I go to, but he's more for baseball, and he doesn't know anything about golf. And so with golf, all you do is you select six golfers. You have to stay under the salary cap, of course, right? And so I chose some guys that were big names, but no one thought really had a chance, because that's what you have to do when you play on DraftKings. So I went with Ricky Fowler. I got him very cheap. He had a good tournament. I went with Phil Mickelson. I got him very cheap. He won the damn tournament. So, I mean, I'm pretty good at this.
Phil Mickelson was ranked 115th in the world. Stugatz was making terrible picks. I looked at his picks on Thursday. I was like, oh, my God. No, I came in 180th, so I can't say anything.
All right. Well, let's cover some of this ground here, because this was a great moment for old people that Chris Whittingham and Jessica were actively and publicly rooting against. Now, I was texting Whittingham as this was happening. He's never cared about golf the way he did here. And just welcome to Gasbag Opinion World, because I have been there with you, where you say the thing on radio or television, and then everyone gathers around just waiting to pounce on you because you said the thing that is now something that people can take and throw in your face. So they took Phil Mickelson, and they threw him at you and Jessica. So what was happening with you over the weekend? Can we just play the sound first before we go any further? This is what people were remembering, because I don't even remember how it started, but Stu Gatz was talking about how much he loves Phil Mickelson. Oh, he wanted to pay Phil Mickelson $100 million just to show up and play putt-putt golf somewhere because he's Phil Mickelson and Stu Gatz is Stu Gatz.
It was that super golf league they're trying to create overseas in Europe. And I said Phil Mickelson would be the perfect guy because he's an attraction and because he would attract other golfers.
And this led to this from Jessica and Whittingham. I don't remember. They were backtracking. They were like Deion Sanders backpedaling yesterday, telling you how many different qualifiers that they didn't say that what you think they said. So let's hear right now what it is they actually said.
I'm just not surprised that Phil Mickelson wants the easy, here's $30 million, play a couple extra rounds in Europe.
Is he not bad now? Like, yeah. Phil Mickelson's bad.
I'm stunned.
He's just famous.
I am stunned.
Easy lefty, I'm being bad, okay? He's old. He's not bad. I'm sorry you're stunned.
You're saying it's such a great idea to just gift Phil Mickelson $30 million toward the end of his career when he missed cuts, and you're doing it based on fame. You're doing it based on what he was, not what he is.
Name and fame, yes. If we're that important, where's the money for us? If you want us here, pay us to be here. We should have to win to
how
make
much,
money.
How much?
Just pay us to play.
How much?
Why not?
How much?
Why not? You should have to win in order to earn your money. What are you talking about?
Chris, they have leverage now.
I would like to state that my position is I'm anti whatever gets Phil Mickelson a $30 million payout just for doing nothing, just for being good for his whole life. Now he's like in retirement phase and it's like, here's $30 million, Phil. And of course he's pro that.
And that's my bad. And I shouldn't be surprised. Of course, Stu Gatz is pro laziness and give me a lot of money. Jessica gets to skate on this. I think Whittingham is the one who, she was just saying something that I felt something stuck to her that should have been sticking only to Whittingham.
She was crushing the Super League. Whitty was the one that was just like, he's bad now.
She was accusing Phil Mickelson of being lazy and not wanting to do anything except take a $30 million check.
That's not exactly what I said. I said he was in retirement mode, which is true. His last 10 results were 69th cut, tied for 21st cut, tied for 25th. Like, he's not making cuts. He's not finishing well. I just said he was in retirement mode.
Smetty, what was the most recent, tournament? How'd he finish?
No, this is the thing, Stu Gatz. What I love is since they said that, he's played the best golf of his career. Last week, the last two tournaments, Phil Mickelson just put up two tournaments back to back. Immediately after they said that, the next time Phil Mickelson played golf is when he was as good as he's ever been.
There is nothing that Phil has done over the last year that would suggest that this weekend was going to happen. He's missed six cuts. He hasn't finished in the top 20. He hasn't been great, but golf, Dan. Yeah.
Well, I was like looking up the exact numbers that Jessica just read out, which is his most recent finishes. You mentioned that he put together a good Masters. In between the Masters and the PGA, missed cut, finished 69th at the Wells Fargo. And he actually, until yesterday, needed a special exemption in order to qualify for the U.S. Open. So I don't feel bad in saying that Phil Mickelson was bad until yesterday. That being said, Brooks Koepka, choke artist.
Yes.
Let's go. Like, what is he doing? Yes, this Koepka, please.
I mean, he gagged all over himself. I am tired of Brooks Koepka. I just want to go back to Mickelson for a second, because you guys are right, okay? There was nothing to suggest that he would be able to pull this off the way he did over the weekend. Nothing. Nothing he has done this year. But that is golf. There is nothing that Tiger was doing that would have suggested that Tiger would eventually win another green jacket, yet he won another green jacket. Phil doesn't care about the Valero Open anymore, okay? He cares about four tournaments a year, and he gears up for those four tournaments a year. And when Phil is on his game, even at the age of 50, as you saw over the weekend, he can still beat the best golfers in the world.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Lefties to guts, huh? Not unlike Pujols.
Exactly. What are they, 6-0 now since they got Albert?
I don't know, but I'll just say
seven. And they've won seven in a row. I don't know how long they've had him.
The guy that's Kepka is blaming his, people bumping into his knee.
Yeah. really so bend over people. And read those putts.
I mean, we are being very hard on Brooks Koepka. He had major knee surgery, I think, less than 2 months ago.
Oh,
it's pretty impressive what he did.
Chris, I don't want to hear it. I mean, it's just, he messed with the golf gods, man. He threw some shit at Twitter at Phil Mickelson the night before. You don't do that. You don't do that to one of the all-time greats. You don't do that to Lefty. And you know what? It came back to bite him in the ass. I mean, how about that for Koepka?
Let's see.
I am tired of that guy's act.
All right,
seriously.
We're tired of you being from home and your internet connection fouling things
Billy
up.
Agreeing with
I
him?
Love that Billy agreed with just total garbage.
Blew fire, Dano,
just
night before.
Gobbledygook.
What happens when you blew a fire? You get burned.
We have not talked about the Miami Heat. We'll get back to Phil Mickelson in a second because Whittingham, no matter how much you double down on being furious, you said he was bad, and after you said he was bad, he finished as high as you can finish in a tournament. So you're going to
biggest
have,
tournament.
You're going to
major.
You're just going to have to eat that one.
69th at the Wells Fargo.
But I'm going to go ahead and say this. This is a shocking commentary I'm going to give you right now. The Miami Heat will be swept if Brook Lopez outplays Bam Adebayo in every game. They will get beaten. I am not going to totally throw someone under the bus, but I am going to partially throw someone under the bus, and we will see if they will come forward. But the bravery of a certain Heat player was questioned this weekend, and the blueprint was also blown up as Bam Adebayo was traded by an angry member of the shipping container. Is anyone willing to come out of their anonymity and stake claim to calling Bam Adebayo someone who would not be brave enough for the moment and then changing the blueprint by wishing that Bam Adebayo had been traded during the season?
I didn't go that far. That was not me. That was not me. Who are we talking about? Where's Cortez? Cortez, come out of your foxhole. Show your face, Cortez. Show your face. Reveal yourself. I'm not the only one saying that Bam Adebayo doesn't have the guts. His entire teammates are. So if Bam Adebayo has a nice little bounce back performance and I'll wear it publicly, cool. Throw it on his teammates that have been super hard on him all season long. Look, Bam Adebayo is an all-star. He should have been an all-star this year. He should have been a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. He's been the second best player on a team that made it to the NBA Finals. He is not a bad offensive player. In fact, quite the contrary. He is a good offensive player. So you can hold him to a higher standard. And when the defensive strategy by Mike Budenholzer, who is not someone I hold in high regard, when he is smart enough to figure out you're afraid to take that mid-range jumper? Hell, you're afraid to put the ball on the ground when they're giving you all that space because he doesn't have to take that mid-range jumper, Dan. He can go to the cup. His teammates are saying
this.
But
it's weird. What's happening there? It is so strange to see. This was a shot he was making with confidence last year. You couldn't remember the Pacers, was it? Who was it that made Haslam a verb? Hasleming off of a guy, allowing him to take the jumpers, and if that's what their offense gets, that's what their offense gets.
The Pacers did that.
And so what they did, this is not something that was there last year.
No, but this is something that this has actually been something that's been happening over the last few seasons with Bam Adebayo. There are just certain games that pop up in which you're like, what's the deal here? Be more aggressive. Are you trying to be a facilitator? I'm holding him to a higher standard because I know him to be a good player. If he were a one-way player, what are you going to do? Throw your hands up. It's Ben Wallace. I'm going to scream at Ben Wallace to be the best player? I'm a firm believer on your best players need to be the best players when it's come playoff time. And he was bad. He was bad, and he wasn't aggressive, and this is a running theme with Bam Adebayo, and I'm sick of handling it with kid gloves.
It was meek. It felt meek, and this was a situation where you had a Milwaukee team where you're bleeping with the guy, the MVP type of player, who the only question about him is, can he do anything here in these moments at the end of playoff games where it's create your own shot? and be MVP-like. And at the end of that game, you get him with a 10-second call that you never see. He's missing free throws. He says before this series, I don't know if this is any different this year. I'm not going to lie to you. We lost in five games to this team, and I don't know if it's any different. And then he plays that game where he looks, whether it's so or not, he looks like somebody who isn't as confident as he should be. And you had a chance to have him sleep with that for 2 days because you buried them in threes and you couldn't finish it, at least in part, because Bam Adebayo was not nearly aggressive enough.
Can it just be that he's doing everything on defense, though, and we need to rely more on with like guys like Gorn and Jimmy offensively?
Well, what is this? He's a former All-Star. Like, we did this with Jimmy Butler in the NBA Finals. That's what heat culture is. You do it on both sides when you're that good.
He is the reason that Milwaukee doesn't look like itself against the Heat defense. He's the centerpiece of everything that's happening there. There's length all over the place on the Heat defense, but you had a chance when they shot poorly from three. And the thing that I'm scared of, if I'm the Miami Heat, because I don't actually think there's much difference between these teams since the Heat have been healthy after that 7-14 start, the Heat have been one of the best teams in the league. But to me, one of the things that is in play here that you should be worried about if you're a Heat fan, in terms of regression to the mean after these games, it is more likely that Bam and Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero will be that bad again because of the set of difficulties that Giannis and Brooke Lopez present than it is that Milwaukee will shoot that poorly from three again in the series. Like, in terms of what is more likely to happen, I do wonder if Milwaukee is better enough. Now, it's not going to be 4-21 for Jimmy Butler, and I don't think it's going to be that kind of meek for Bam Adebayo, but I think poor shooting nights from Miami Heat star players are more likely than the Bucks shooting threes like that again.
But Dan, as a Heat fan, shouldn't you be encouraged? You were on the road game one against a very good team, and you have Bam going 4-15, Butler going 4-22, and you lost the game in overtime. Like, for me, I walked away from that game. If I'm a Heat fan, I'd be encouraged by how the Heat played in that game. They didn't play well. They almost had a chance to win.
Stugatz, look at the three-point numbers. I think Miami was either plus 35 or plus 45
plus
points.
Plus 45.
On threes. Like, that's
courtesy of Don Van Natta, who came out of the shadows to dunk all over you. It was very weird.
Who does he root for, by the way? Because he seems to be all over everybody all the time, right? Like, how do we pin down Don Van Natta on something?
I once tweeted about Chelsea and he went at me. It's weird.
It's a good position for Don Van Natta, where you ask that question, who does he cheer for? And what he cheers for is just you to be wrong.
Man.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped. Opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
What a missed opportunity that was, man. It's just, you hate to let him off the hook there. And Chris Middleton is like all-time Heat killer.
He really is.
What a perfect last name for him. He's really good at those mid-range jumpers.
He really is.
He's good at the long ones too, though.
Yeah, and Duncan Robinson, I got to give him credit. That was a hell of a performance on the road. While I expect Bam and Jimmy to ascend a little bit, I don't think you can count on Duncan Robinson to do that again. He was amazing.
I don't think, to Stugatz's point, right, because I was actually making the argument that you had a chance to make Milwaukee think about something for a couple of days that would have been unpleasant to think about. And even as it is, you win the game, but I'm not sure how good you can feel about some of the things happening in that game for Milwaukee. But to Stugatz's point, where he's saying, well, you feel good if you're a Heat fan because that stuff doesn't slide over from game to game. Like, one of the things that happened with Jimmy, and I don't know what to do about this, right? Because Jimmy's a weird player in that he's been a star over the last couple of seasons, and he's not a great shooter. And so he missed a whole bunch of open shots in that game. I think undefended shots. You know, the advanced stats that do all that stuff where they tell you whether jumpers are contested or not, or shots are contested. He was 4 of 21. When you go into the playoffs being this guy, Stugatz, where you're saying all the quotes that Heat fans love, he erased everything by making the shot at the end of regulation. But it's not like he was good in that game offensively. Wildly inefficient and just missing shots that above average NBA players don't miss at that rate. And so I ask you, Stugatz, because you love the guys who are talkers and Heat fans love the way this guy particularly talked. When you go into the playoffs with, hey, as long as I get there, I know I'm the best player on the floor and all the stuff that he loves to say, he was not good in that game.
No, that final possession, too, where you're caught in the in-between. Are you going to pass? Are you going to shoot? It was weird. Our stars didn't really step up to the plate, and you're counting on a guy in Duncan Robinson who kind of shied away from big moments last year in the playoffs. I imagine the stars will get it sorted, but you can't count on that production from beyond the arc. It was a weird game for Miami. They shot 33% from two. So a weird game all around. I'm not really sure what takeaway there is outside of Milwaukee's better because they have a guy in P.J. Tucker who we point to Jimmy Butler's performance. You got to give some of that credit to P.J. Tucker who blanked Jimmy Butler when he was on him.
0 for 6, right? And nobody made anything when P.J. Tucker was guarding him.
Dan, all I'm saying is combined, Bam and Jimmy Butler were 8 of 30 sacked. I have to think that they're going to be better moving forward. And if they're better, I think, you know, he'd have a chance of winning this series. I really do.
Chris, you think it's a good recurring bit, right? That every time Stugatz talks, it's garbled as he tells us no, the show doesn't suffer at all when he does it from
home. He can't lose.
I offered to come in tonight, man. I was halfway there. Mike told me to go home. What do you want from me?
All right, so I texted him at 6:28, and he's like, I was already in the car. That would make him like an hour and a half early for today's show.
What do you mean, Mike? I've been getting there every Monday at 7:30 in the morning because I can't calculate the traffic correctly because school has stopped, and now I'm getting there in 45 minutes. So what do you want?
Stugatz, we were all here.
It's not the case with him. But
every single day when you get here, and you've never once in my entire time doing this been here at 7:30 in the morning.
There was one day where you were
that's
here
because
before.
I'm having heaters in the garage.
Okay, Stugatz, but he said he had a little chess thing coming on, and we're in the age of Zoom, so why not work from home? But it's a bad combination. We still haven't built out our infrastructure completely, and Finney's just there gnawing on a router the entire time that Stugatz is broadcasting from there.
In that vein, I should tell you guys what we've got coming up here because we're excited about it, and we should probably start telling people nonstop to tell the people that they know that on June 4th, the partnership with DraftKings starts, and we're starting it with 24 straight hours of doing our show. So the next couple of weeks here, we've got an uneven set schedule next week. Mike, how many shows are we doing next week?
We're going to be off for Memorial Day. We're definitely going to do the Tuesday show. We're planning on doing a Wednesday show, and we're going to be off Thursday as that's a big tech day for us. It's a ramp up for this 24-hour marathon, not just a tech day, but it's going to allow some people to get some sleep.
We will tell you where it is and how it is you could get all this stuff, but it's going to be, you're going to be able to get it on video. You're going to be able to watch YouTube. What we're doing.
Yeah, we're partnering with YouTube for this, which is going to be easy to share across all social media platforms. So if you follow us on Instagram or on Twitter at Lebatard Show, you'll get more and more details in the coming days as we lead up to this big free 24-hour event that we're doing here to kick off our partnership with DraftKings.
And just so you understand on what we need from you, because the last 4 months have been crazy and hectic, and we know that many of you don't like some of the things that have happened around here as we've shifted around and it's gone from 5 days to 3 days, but we're going to give you 8 shows in one day. We're going to give you 24 straight hours on June 4th, and that is when it is that the partnership with DraftKings starts, and then a lot of stuff will be growing after that. But getting back to the Heat game, we'll tell you more about it as we ramp up toward it. But getting back to the Jimmy Butler stuff, because he's now 6 of 9 on game tying or go ahead field goals. This is from Hoop Central in the final minute of the playoffs throughout his career. It's the best in the NBA over the last 25 seasons. And you're feeling pretty good at the end of regulation that he specifically, a play totally fell apart. The thing you need in the playoffs to have a guy who could do that, he goes right at Giannis, Defensive Player of the Year. Brooke Lopez, those two guys will bother a lot of people just because of their height. And he makes the shot 4 of 19 at that point. But what I love, Stugatz, is before all of this happened, Shams reported that there was a heated, tense thing that happened between the Heat coaching staff and Jimmy Butler. And for anyone who knows anything about the Heat, that's a fairly normal thing. Like Pat Riley, going back to when Pat Riley was coach, he would say of Alonzo Mourning, "I'm totally fine with Alonzo Mourning getting in my face and shouting F you at me. Just teach me something about you, about the situation." And so this is a confrontational kind of coaching. Eric Spoelstra will even tell you, he will tell you, "It's not my job around here to be liked."
It also seems like a very normal thing for Jimmy Butler, just given his history.
Well, this is what I like, though. Yes, of course. So the report from Shams is that there have been some tense moments, and Heat fans didn't like that so much, thought it should have the context of, yeah, what, of course, you throw lighter fluid on a bonfire, and of course Jimmy Butler is a crazy person in practice. But what I love is that Jimmy Butler's agent is clearly taking his cue from his client on how to handle these matters, because this is what he wrote on Twitter directed at Shams, Stugatz. "Shut the fuck up, you clickbait, ambulance chasing dirtbag piece of shit."
Wow. A little harsh, don't you think? Dial it down a bit.
It continues. "No one has told you this because this is not reality. Go find someone's assistant to text about an MRI or some other human calamity you want to be first on. We're good over here." But the key sentence is, "Shut the fuck up, you clickbait, ambulance chasing, dirtbag piece of shit." I think that would have sufficed. They really didn't need any words after that, right? Like, that would have been fine. And it's exactly, put it on the poll, Guillermo, is that exactly how Jimmy Butler's agent should handle all negotiations?
Was that a denial?
Seems like the perfect agent for Jimmy. I mean.
What is that?
It's not a denial, though.
No, it's just, not. You want confrontation? I'll show you confrontations. You want things
you
that...
ambulance... chasing piece of shit. A little strong, I think.
I will say that as that story came out, I did ask some Heat people, and they love that Jimmy's like that. You don't love it so much when it's losing.
Yeah, when you're losing.
No, Dan, you love it when it's getting you to the NBA Finals. If it gets you knocked out in the first round, let's see how much Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley love it, okay?
Of course, but what do you do with the fact that they lost a game that is one of those games? Stugatz, you know this. How did that feel to lose that Knicks game that way? Where you got everything lined up in a way that feels good. You're sitting there saying, "Well, Julius Randle hasn't been any good," and still here we are. We're in this game, and then it's loud and it's crazy, and New York is going crazy over Quigley, and there's emotion everywhere, and it's just nut. And we're sitting there watching. Really, the Knicks think they're going deep with Burks, huh? Okay, very good. And you guys fall in love with Burks. I love this team. And then Trae Young says, "Look at this. Look at what I'm going to do to you. Floaters." And you're going to be chanting Trae Young as Madison Square Garden in unison. New York feels playoff good for first time in 2 decades. And at the end, he ends you and puts a finger to his lips and notices how quiet it is in the place.
Yeah, it hurt, but I was on a Phil Mickelson high, so it was kind of okay. And by the way, I think it's Quickly, not Quigley. That's a fine. But when you're relying on Alec Burks and Derrick Rhodes at the end of the game, that's not what the Knicks do. It's been Julius Randle the entire season. It's been RJ Barrett, and those guys weren't very good. And by the way, that call at the end of the game, what's the point of having replay? When Trae Young draws a foul that wasn't a foul, and Thibodeau goes to the replay booth, and they they agree with the call that was made on the floor, and Trae Young gets two free throws that he should not have taken, Dan. It is, I don't understand why we have replay in the NBA. The refs totally gifted that game to the Hawks. They handed that game to Trae Young. I don't understand what's the point of replay if we're going to go to the booth and then keep a bad call a bad call. You're supposed to overturn those. It was terrible. You know the call I'm talking about. It's a foul, man.
I love a couple of things about that, not just because
because I'm tired of Trae Young already. I mean, I'm tired of this whole Hawks team. And let me tell you, Nate McMillan set it up. He said the league, and so now the officials of the league are going out of their way to show that they're not pro New York Knicks by calling terrible, lazy fouls at the end of the games so the Hawks can advance and not the Knicks. The league can say, see, we told you, we have no interest in the Knicks advancing. We have interest in the Atlanta Hawks advancing. It's a crock. Seriously, all of it.
Mike, are you now rooting for the show-long thread of Stugatz's internet being faulty?
It's a tough one, Dan, because it
sounds good.
It is a funny device 1 hour into this experiment.
The thing that is...
It is funny when, like, a clean bullshit makes its way through out of nowhere.
Yes, this is the thing. This is what Chris Cody is shouting from the shadows. He always wins because not even noticed in the garble of what just happened is I started that with, hey, Stugatz, that was pretty heartbreaking. Yeah, don't care. What about Mickelson? Yeah, didn't care. And then it's a crock and the ref stole it. Why do we have replay? And
bullshit.
He's just, yes, it's, and then bullshit.
Crystal clear.
But I'm fine. I'm fine, yeah, I'm because fine. Because Mickelson won.
Lefty.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.